This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, we're bringing back a returning guest, and we're finishing up our six-part series on Seafair Exploration Corp. You can find them on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol SFRX. And with us today is the chairman and president and CEO of the company, Mr. Kyle Kennedy. Kyle, welcome back to the show.
Everett, thank you. It's wonderful to be back, as always.
Well, I'm excited about finishing up this six-part series. As you know, we've had a lot of your constituents on the show and bringing us up to speed what you guys are doing out there. So give us a little bit of an update of where we're at and where we're going from here.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Let me start with when I visit with shareholders, Everett, I always talk about negatives first, if there's ever a negative. And I've got one that's a bit of a negative that I'm a little down on, and that's with our government grant. We've got a government grant we've been working on that I thought at our last time we talked that we were very close to getting that grant done. There was a mistake that was made in the grant, and it's delayed us. The grant department itself has had some delays, and it's put us on sort of a perma-hold. They are doing it, but they have no idea when it will finally be completed. And I hate to say, hey, we're getting close to something and then not be close to it. But the government grant is in the works. It is there. I just don't have any clue as to when they might actually be able to accomplish this. Could be 2 months, 3 months. I just don't know. But having said that, it is in the works. That's a positive. It would be very beneficial to our company should we get it, and I think we will. There's been a tremendous amount of work that's gone into it. And it's where the government will actually pay us to develop some technology that's similar to the Sea Searcher technology. So when they get their kinks worked out, eventually they'll come back around to us, and I'm pretty sure we'll be able to work with them.
So what's the latest news there on the campus?
Yeah, well, the two big things for us is the blockchain business, because that's going exceptionally well. We opened a new division for municipalities, and you've probably heard, and I'm sure your listeners have heard, that there's a lot of cities being hacked around the country. It's occurring every single day, and the cities are taking notice. They've certainly realized that they're under attack, and so one of the things that blockchain encryption does is it allows them to store their records instantaneously, and it can never be hacked. So if they do get hacked, we have all of their records up to the moment that their files were stolen, and we can replace it very easily, and they don't have to pay a hacker. So cities are beginning to take notice. We've got over 11 different major cities set up to visit with us in January. But I'll add to that, the sales cycle and going through something like that's very, very slow. It's an educational process.
Right.
And they have to budget. The cities have to budget for that. So even though we have all this business that's being set up, it could be 2, 3, 4 months before you actually begin to see that coming in. But in addition to that, on the blockchain side is the government business, the agencies that we announced that, you know, we had landed sometime back. Those agencies are continuing to build their business with us through probability and statistics. And so that part of it is going extremely, extremely well. And that actually takes us up to the Sea Searcher, which is our pride and joy and the number one thing in the company. You know, the Sea Searcher right now can see targets under the sand. We can already see things we've never seen before. You know, it shows us the exact depth. If it says it's 82.5 inches, it's pretty much 82.5 inches down. It shows us the size of the item that we're looking at. The only thing we don't have on it right now is the metal detector. The metal detector, we're having to write additional algorithms to make the metal detector software fit in with the software of the rest of the unit for the acoustical arrays and the other arrays that we have on here and sonar that we have on the device, so it all works together. It's been a tedious process getting this metal detector hooked to it. I believe before Christmas, we will have that metal detector hooked to it and be testing it out in the ocean to establish baselines on how it reads gold, silver, aluminum, copper, iron, steel, brass, etc. So that all should be good and ready to go by certainly the first part of January, which would be really, really exciting for us.
Well, Kyle, let me interject here and ask you this. I saw a program on the Discover Channel about this lost Spanish ship supposedly you guys found. Can you bring myself and your stockholders, my listeners, up to speed? Where are we at in that process?
Well, we've identified pretty much where the wreck is. We have a good idea on what the wreck is, which wreck it is. We don't have that as an absolute. We do feel strongly that it is one of these Spanish galleons that wrecked in the 1715 fleet. We feel pretty strongly about that. But having said that, we've identified the area that the ship wrecked in. The cesium vapor magnetometer, which only shows iron, shows pretty much that the ship came to rest against a hill that's, you know, outside of the beach, and it stuck against that hill. It was never able to be shoved up onto the beach, if you will. So the Spanish never found it, never salvaged it, which has been mentioned before. And so the whole wreck is laying out there. The question then becomes, did the ship hit bottom before it got to the bottom of that hill? And if it did hit bottom, did it break out and did it leave treasure or other valuables further out?
Right.
And one advantage our sea searcher has is it's autonomous. It's able to swim out there. It's able to look around, and it's able to see targets that are not just simply iron. And so if there are chests, it can see that. If there's wood, it can see that, wooden structure. So already the device is giving us some very compelling targets to review further when we get the metal detector hooked up to it. And because we got some new equipment, we got two new boats right now that can handle 5 to 6 foot seas. And that makes a substantial difference in our efficiency on this site. Just in 2 months, the last 2 months, we've been able to do more digging than all of last year, than all of 2018. And it's just in the last 2 months. And normally, other companies are shut down during this period. You know, they don't go out during the winter, whereas we do. We work year-round. But these new boats are giving us tremendous efficiency. They've got one of the boats has completely new dredge equipment on it, and we're going to be using that dredge equipment in January. So as soon as we get this metal detector going with the rest of the device, then we'll have targets that we want to zero in on, and our dredge equipment will allow us to do it, and we'll be able to work in much rougher seas than what we used to. We used to keep it under 3 feet. Now we're going to try to keep it under 6 feet. So that's huge.
As a CEO of a small OTC company, what are you most proud of your accomplishments here in 2019 as we're coming to a closing?
That's a really good question, Everett. You know, we've had tremendous growth this last year, and the single most important thing is the development of this sea searcher. We've got some amazing scientists that have joined our team. Several of these people have been on your show. Don Beavers at PNAS, and
yep.
Tim Reynolds at Wild Manta, Jim Torson, Tom Soder, a couple of Matt Milstead, another guy, John Cavanaugh. These people are just brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant. And to be able to design and build something that's never been built before, it's like building the first light bulb or building the first telephone or just pick a subject, right? And for these guys to do it, It's just been a heck of an experience. And then when you add to that a new business that will someday, I think, completely fund us, and that's this blockchain logistics, that's tremendous growth. It's a tremendous change in our company. In my personal opinion, I don't think the stock price reflects the growth and capacity of what we have available to us, because it's huge, huge upside, because the Sea Searcher has applications that go far beyond digging up, silver and gold under the ocean floor. And we're beginning to see some of that capacity come to us. All kinds of different countries, all kinds of different companies, all kinds of different agencies have all approached Seafarer and asked for help in different areas with technology that stems from the Sea Searcher. So that would for sure have to be the thing I'm proudest of, because that is going to change our company in this next year.
And where do you see the future of your company, say, going in the first two or three quarters of 2020?
I think one of the telltale signs for our company is going to be the first quarter. As we go through January, February, and March, I've repeatedly said the Sea Searcher will find gold and silver. I know it'll find gold and silver. What I don't know is if there's gold and silver on this site. Now, having said that, obviously I believe there's gold and silver on this site, because it's a major wreck. It was never salvaged, and it's laying out there somewhere. Well, it won't take me that long, depending on the weather. If we have 8-foot seas every day, it'll be a problem. But we'll be able to put that Sea Searcher out there, and it'll find that for us. And when we start making those finds and begin to announce that, I currently see that happening in the next quarter, somewhere January, February, March, in that time frame. And I'm extremely optimistic about that. And that really changes the future of our company right there when we make the first find using the Sea Searcher, because it's proof, that this works. Right now, it's still a concept. People can still question it, but that's proof. And if it works on one site, well, guess what? It'll work around the world.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. This one device can completely change our company.
My guest today has been Kyle Kennedy. He's the CEO and chairman of Seafarer Exploration Corp. You can find them on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol SFRX. Kyle, I leave you with the last words. What is it that you want my listeners and your stockholders to take away from this 6-part series?
I can tell you right now, 2020 is going to be the best year in our company's history, bar none. Combine them all, 2020 is going to be our year. I can tell you that right now.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. You know, I've been a fan of yours for years and years. You've been on my show, I don't know, 3 or 4 years at least. And, You know, I'm pulling for you. And I wish you guys nothing but the best. And hopefully you'll come back on the show here in January. Give us an update of what's going on.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Everett, as always, thank you very much. You guys do a wonderful job.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.